Well, this morning we're continuing in our series on the Holy Spirit. And let me just tell you, I've had so much fun just going through this and reading the scriptures and just thinking through as we develop this theology of the Holy Spirit. Because as we've talked about in the previously, that the Holy Spirit is often misunderstood. Amen? And so because of that, we sort of leave the Holy Spirit to the side. We sort of don't tap into the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yes, we believe that he indwells us as believers in Christ, but do we really understand what his role is? And so as we go through this series, the idea is that we would form this understanding that God, the Holy Spirit, is a divine person. He's not a ghost. He's not an apparition. He is a person of the Trinity. He's the third member of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy. Come on, church, be with me today. He's the promised helper sent by God to glorify the Son, first and foremost. He is to sanctify and empower us as believers, as the hands and feet, the members of the body of Christ, and he is to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's the Holy Spirit in a nutshell. So we've looked at a few things. We looked at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and last week we dipped our toes in the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, and we didn't get through all of it last week. Say, aw. So we're going to continue that this morning. So last week, as we looked at being what the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer looks like, first of all, that we are called by God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that being filled with the Holy Spirit is different than being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. All believers, upon confession of faith, conversion, when we give our lives to Christ, when we say, yes, Jesus, I receive you and accept you as my Lord and my Savior, that you've forgiven me of my sins, I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection, and my hope, my trust is in you for eternity. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence within us as believers. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We receive 100% of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. However, we are also called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And being filled, if you remember the illustration, is like tuning ourselves to a guitar. Like, we need to walk and live in tune with the Holy Spirit. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is all about tuning our lives to the harmony of the Holy Spirit, is what it means to walk in the Spirit. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and to bear the fruit of the Spirit later on in that chapter. Well, this morning, we want to take a look at using and developing the gifts of the Spirit. We kind of touched on that last week very briefly. We ran out of time. Well, guess what? We got some more time today. Amen? And so using and developing the gifts of the Spirit is going to be our focus this morning. And this primarily comes out of Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. You can find in Ephesians chapter 4 a few more gifts per se, but really we briefly touched on, this is a list of the gifts: acts of mercy, administration, apostleship, discernment of spirits, encouragement, evangelism, faith, healing, helping, interpretation, knowledge, leadership, prophecy, service, speaking in tongues, teaching, wisdom, working miracles. And I also provided last week a spiritual gift assessment, at least a web address. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to look at these gifts in process. But as we do that, I want to illustrate what the gifts of the Holy Spirit mean to the body of Christ. The importance of, it's kind of like having the importance of having the right tools to get the job done or the right ingredients to complete a recipe. Now, many of you may know this. I was formerly in construction and I still like to dabble. And so this is actually my tool belt, which I hate wearing. Anybody hate wearing these things? They're heavy, you know? But this is great, but it's incomplete. In order for my tool belt to be effective, in order to be an effective carpenter to get the job done, what do I need? Tools, right? And guess what? Each tool has a specific what? Purpose and job, right? If I want to measure something, I need tape measure. So we need to put that in the tool belt. If I want good right angles, what do I need? Square, speed square, right? Right, but we all, as we build things, we need the right tools, right? Now, some of you may not understand tools, and this is probably the coolest thing ever. It's called a Pika pencil. If you're in a carpentry, please get one. Anyway, but not everybody has construction experience. Not everybody likes to get their hands dirty building things, but some of us like to get our hands dirty in the kitchen, don't we? And so for those of you that enjoy baking, let me offer this illustration for you as it relates to the gifts of the Spirit. You see, what happens if you don't have the right tools? What happens if you don't have the right ingredients for a recipe? It doesn't turn out, right? How many of you have ever forgotten salt in a recipe? Or have forgotten a leavening agent? Just as we are called to discover and use our gifts in the body of Christ, we need the right ingredients, we need the right equipment, so to speak, in order to make the recipe. And so, in some of your chairs, underneath your chairs, are some ingredients for this recipe. Yeah, now you're looking. And it could be under you, it could be in front of you, it could be behind you. But as an illustration of this, what I want to do is, we need all of these ingredients. And if you find ingredients, please bring them forward, okay? Because just as we are called, so we've got baking soda, which the spiritual gift of exhortation. We've got baking powder, which is the spiritual gift of encouragement. The egg is a binding agent, so it's the gift of administration. See, if I start putting this sugar, which is essential to sugar cookies, right? It's one of the, it's mercy. And so what we're going to do is we're going to put this in here. Let's look at the ingredient list. We need some flour. We need butter. We need some vanilla extract. Butter is service, right? Because, see, what ends up happening is if we don't have all of the ingredients, we are not complete. And what's the point of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our gifting us as members of the body? It's to grow into the fullness of Christ. And if we don't understand, if we don't know what our gifts are in the church, if we don't discover and develop those gifts, guess what? We are never going to complete the recipe. And so what we need is all of these ingredients in order to become the fragrant aroma of Christ. So here we want to go through some of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want to explain them and what their function is as we learn how to develop and use these gifts for the good of the body of Christ. Let's start with acts of mercy. Acts of mercy, it allows extra patience and compassion towards those who are suffering or who are afflicted. Now, everyone in Christ, every disciple of Christ is called to be merciful to those that need mercy, right? We're blessed are the merciful, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The idea that we're called to mercy, but if you have the gift of mercy, you have extra patience. But acts of mercy is a gift. Secondly is administration. Administration is a gift. And it comes from the Greek word kubernesis. And kubernesis means to steer. And it carries the idea of someone who guides and directs a group of people toward a goal. Now, the difference, administration as opposed to leadership, administration is really focused on getting the job done. Right? We want to get the job done. If we have the gift of administration, you're really good at pulling resources, pulling people together to accomplish a task, whether it's a building program or a new ministry initiative, like maybe we want to do a food shelf for the community or something like that. Apostleship is another gift of the Spirit. And apostleship should not be confused with the office of an apostle. Okay, the apostles were the original 12 disciples minus Judas, who hung himself, replaced by Matthias, and then the apostle Paul. Now, there is no longer the office of apostle in the church. It is unnecessary. But there is the spiritual gift of apostleship. And apostleship, that gift, is the idea of being able to plant new ministries, new churches in challenging environments where those ministries or those churches don't exist. And so a lot of missionaries have the gift of apostleship because they're those folks that are able to go into a country and where the gospel is not known. They're able to plant a church, build those relationships. And that's not for everybody, right? Moving on, the discernment of spirits is from diakrisis, which gives a person the ability to distinguish, to discern, to judge, or appraise spirits. To appraise people, a statement, situations, or environments as either good or evil. And so to be able to have that gift, that spiritual gift of discernment, and some of you have this gift, you just know when someone's talking to you or you look at a situation and you go, man, something is not right. Anybody experienced that before? Like, there's something not right about this. You're not telling me the whole truth, or there's something that smells funny. And that's part of that spiritual gift of discernment that the Holy Spirit has placed upon you in order to discern whether something is good or evil, whether it glorifies God or it steals from God's glory. encouragement, also known as exhortation. It's from parakaleo. I love that word, parakaleo, which is the ability to remind someone or to encourage them and strengthen the hearer of the powerful and amazing work of God in Christ. When a person's faith is wavering, in need of challenge and rebuke or encouragement. Some of you have this gift when you just see someone who's hurting, who's struggling, you just come alongside them and you put your arm around them and you just pour out love and remind us of who God is and the powerful things that he's accomplished on the cross. Amen. But this is a gift that's more than a normal, hey, I'm cheering for you, I'm praying for you. This is like, how do I get in the yoke? How do I get in your suffering with you so that I can champion you and encourage you? Moving on, evangelism is that extra measure of faith and effectiveness when preaching the gospel beyond what is expected of all Christians. See, brothers and sisters, if we're in Christ, we are expected by Jesus to go and make disciples, to teach people all that he's commanded us, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, my job as a pastor, teacher, as a shepherd of this flock is to equip you for the work of the ministry. That's what we're doing, is teaching you and challenging you and encouraging you, exhorting you to learn and to develop your spiritual gifts so that you might fulfill the ministry that God has for each one of us, for each one of you. And that idea of evangelism is that extra measure of faith, because we're all called to evangelism. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation, amen? I had a buddy, his name was Rich, and when we were in Reading, and he was a carpenter, he was a Finnish carpenter, and just a phenomenal artisan when it came to woodworking, but you know, Rich had the gift of evangelism. It didn't matter what job site, what crew, he would walk in, and his first thing was, hey, my name's Rich, do you know Jesus? Hey, my name's Rich, how's your prayer life? How's your walk with Christ? Didn't matter. It just exuded off of him like perspiration, right? It was that fragrant aroma of Christ. And guess what? Some people were like, I don't want to talk about that. But that did that ever dissuade Rich from sharing his faith? No, not at all. In fact, it emboldened him. Not in a jerky way, but in a genuine way. Like, how can I pray for you? I really care about you. Not all of us have that gift. Another gift of the Holy Spirit is faith. Now, we need to understand that this is not saving faith, but rather this is a gift of faith that increases one's trust and confidence in God, that allows them to live boldly for Christ and to demonstrate that faith in mighty ways. That ability to say, you know what, I know you're struggling. It's kind of like encouragement. I know you're struggling, but I believe that God is going to do something powerful in your life. I believe that God has more in store for you. I believe that if you know, it's just that encouragement. And some of us, we look at people with faith and we go, I wish I had that. Anybody relate to that? Say, oh yeah. You know, because sometimes my faith gets weak. And so we need those with a spiritual gift of faith in our lives to be able to encourage us, to be able to be the wind beneath our wings, so to speak. Spiritual gift of giving is those with those gifts, that gift, they give generously. And not just generously, but cheerfully, without any thought of return. And they're not just giving financially, they're giving of their time, they're giving of their talent, they're giving of their resources, their hospitality. They love to give. And they do it without ever wanting to be recognized. That's a spiritual gift. Spiritual gift of healing is not necessarily the sense of everywhere they go, people get healed, but in the sense that those with this gift, they're very compassionate toward the sick. And they pray for them regularly with great faith and trust that God can heal some. And when God chooses not to, they're not deterred when he doesn't. And they're also not just concerned with spiritual healing, spiritual health, they're concerned, or physical health and physical healing, but really more importantly, they're concerned with one's spiritual health. Because at the end of the day, our bodies will die. But our soul, our spirits last forever. And so people with this gift of healing, they're able to discern, yes, I pray for your physical healing, but more importantly, I want your soul to be healed in Christ. And they just have that ability to sit with people who are unwell, who are sick, and man, may the Lord bless those with that gift. Helping is very similar to service, which we'll get to, but with the gift of helps, it seeks to meet the practical needs of those in the church rather than ministry. So this is an individualized focus. Service focuses more on ministry programs. Helping someone with the gift of helps is able to come alongside individuals and just nurture them and help them. Interpretation, this comes from the word hermeneia, which means to interpret, to explain, or expound the message that is not easily or normally understood from an unknown language. So someone with the gift of interpretation, whether it's a spoken tongue in the church, which we'll get to, or whether it is you're in a different country, a different environment, and you're like, hey, I understand what that guy's saying, or that person's saying. It's that ability to expound on truth of God's word. Knowledge is a gift that allows a person to understand scriptures in a deep way and to communicate and relate the truth of it effectively and appropriately. The problem with this gift is oftentimes, if we're not careful, it can puff us up, right? Because knowledge puffs up. And with the gift of knowledge, it's the idea of a person with this gift can read God's word and the Holy Spirit just illuminates the truth and the reality of that scripture in a profound way that someone without that gift may not see. And then it allows that person then to share that experience, that knowledge with others. The gift of leadership is closely related to administration, as I mentioned earlier, and accomplishing goals, but leadership focuses more on people than the task. And a person with the gift of leadership cares for people to lead them into a deeper relationship with Christ and each other. The task is secondary to that priority of relationship. The gift of prophecy comes from prophetia, which is the supernatural ability to receive a divinely illuminated message and to deliver it to others as exhortation, as correction, as prediction, comfort, exposure of sin. But the difference is this is not an authoritative revelation. Like the prophets of the Old Testament where they say, thus says the Lord, the person with the gift of prophecy does not say, thus says the Lord. If they do, flee, okay? Run away, because they're not speaking on God's behalf in that sense. Anyone with the gift of prophecy, you have to think of it in this way. There are two sides. We've talked about this before, but in prophecy, there's two sides of the coin. There's foretelling, which is predictive, and there's forthtelling, which is the truth. Does that make sense? And so someone with the gift of prophecy is able to tell the truth and expose sin based on God's word, not on new revelation. Okay? And it's really important that we understand that. If someone says, I have the spiritual gift of prophecy, and God says, on this date, this is going to happen to you, I would really question that gift. Does that make sense? But if they say, I have the gift of prophecy, and God, there's a sin in your life that you're covering up, and God's word says this, we need to listen to that. Does that make sense? Sometimes that's uncomfortable. Prophets make people uncomfortable. Why? Because they know things spiritually, giftedly, that we don't want other people to know. But you can see how important that is in the body of Christ, amen? Because so many of us, we walk around life pretending like everything is okay. We have this veneer, we have this facade, we have this image that we project to everybody, especially on Sunday morning. Anybody of you interacted with each other today and say, hey, how's it going? Oh, it's going great. How many of you are lying when you say that? Let's be honest, because for many of us, it's not actually great, is it? And too often, we allow each other to get by without being honest, except for the prophets in our midst. And it's those prophets when they say, how are you doing? How's it going in your life? How's your walk with Jesus? And he says, oh, it's great. You're lying to me. Can we just be honest and have a real conversation? That might freak some of us out, amen? But you can see, just as flour, as sugar is vital to the ingredients of making a successful sugar cookie, so too prophecy is vital and essential to us being the body of Christ together. Service, the spiritual gift of service, some have this gift to fill the many gaps of ministry and meet the needs of the church as it fulfills the Great Commission. The person with the gift of service asks the question, how can I serve? What can I do? How can I help in this ministry so that it achieves its goal rather than that's not my ministry? I'm just here to receive rather than to serve. Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues comes from glossolalia, and it is the gift of languages, which means, and glossolalia means tongue. And it is the utterance of prayer or of a message that glorifies God and is typically spoken to God. But when it happens in the church, it happens in an orderly way and it requires interpretation. And that's why we don't necessarily see tongues in the church these days. Not that it's not possible, not that it couldn't happen. But if it did happen, it would be clearly from the Lord and there would be clear interpretation. One of my, A.B. Simpson was the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance. His philosophy was seek not this gift, but also forbid not. So the idea of when that gift happens, if God chooses to do that in this church, I don't think he will, but I'm not going to put a stop on that. Amen. Right? We don't want to limit God. But I don't know that God is going to use that for our community. Now, if we were in a different culture, if we were overseas somewhere, this might happen. But it probably won't in this environment. The gift of teaching, this gift is one of really heavy responsibility. If you have the spiritual gift of teaching, it's one of heavy responsibility for the warning in James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should be teachers, because if you choose to teach, you are liable for double judgment. And it comes from didaskalos, meaning to teach, to instruct, to instill doctrine, to explain and expound the word of God so that the church will not fall into error. And oftentimes, those with the gift of teaching also have the accompanying gift of knowledge. And this is really important, that those that have these gifts develop them, nurture them, but to do so with caution. And if you don't have these gifts, it's not to say that you're disqualified from teaching, but it's just going to be a little bit more challenging. Does that make sense? And so we want to make sure that we can appropriately and healthily develop this gift. We're coming to the end here of these gifts. Wisdom, like knowledge, is an intimate understanding of God's word that leads to righteous and upright living. It also allows a person to understand an individual or situation with great understanding beyond what's obvious, and a righteous perspective to lead to greater holiness. So someone with the gift of wisdom is able to just discern and to say, you know what, this is the right thing. Imagine when obviously the wisest person in scripture that we know of, even of humanity, and you have the woman who stole a baby and the mom who claims that her baby was stolen, they come to Solomon and Solomon says, well, let's just cut the baby in half. And what does the real mom do? She freaks out. The fake mom says, fine, cut the baby in half, right? The ability to use wisdom in order to get to the heart of a matter so that God's glory is revealed in that person. And finally, working miracles. Those with this gift have a heightened sensitivity to the presence and power of God through the Holy Spirit and a desire that God would reveal himself and draw others to faith in Christ. Does not seek attention or have a following of people. And so that's not to say that if you have this gift of working, you're not a miracle worker, quote unquote, but rather you have an awareness of God is doing something in your life. God is bringing healing. God is bringing healing physically. He's bringing healing relationally, emotionally to your life, to God's glory. So what is the purpose of these gifts of the Spirit? We've talked about and explained what these gifts are. What is the purpose? There's five things. The gifts of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. First off, gifts are for use in the church. Gifts are for the use in the church. Looking at some passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. What shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everybody's bringing their gifts to the assembly, to the congregation. All of these things, Paul says, must be done for what? The strengthening of the church, the body working together. It's like the athlete who goes to the gym and only works out their legs or works out one part of their body to the exclusion of everything else. We don't just use gifts and we don't highlight and focus on the more spectacular gifts. Everything must be worked together, used for the strengthening of the body of Christ together. In 1 Timothy, as Paul is writing to his protege, chapter 4, he says, don't neglect your gift. Timothy, don't neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. And my encouragement to you, brothers and sisters, would be the same. Don't neglect your gifts. If you don't know what your gifts are, then you need to find out how God has gifted you through the Holy Spirit so that you can develop those gifts for the betterment of the church. And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, the gifts are also for the building up of the body of Christ. So not only are they for the church, but they're for building up the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says, by the grace given me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with what? Sober judgment. Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form what? One body. We're one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them so that the body of Christ might be edified and built up. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 and verse 16, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that what? The body of Christ might be built up. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I just want to highlight this. We're not going to read the entire chapter, but this is a great place for you to meditate this week as you look to understand and really marinate yourself in the Word of God, understanding the Holy Spirit and the role. But in this passage, Paul talks about the body of Christ is like a physical body. And just as our physical bodies have many members, we need all parts of our body in order for us to function properly. And the same is true for us in the church. We need each other to function properly, motivated by what? Love. So gifts are for the use in the church. Gifts are for building up the body of Christ. Gifts are also for serving one another. Notice it's not for serving yourself, but serving one another. John Calvin, this is a quote attributed to him. He says, all the endowments that we possess are divine deposits entrusted to us for the very purpose of being distributed for the good of our neighbor. See, we're not to develop our gifts just for our own sake, for our own self, but we are to do that for the sake of others. And in 1 Peter, he says this, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Gifts are for the common good. Not only just for the church, for the building up of the body of Christ, for serving, but for the common good. Now to each one is the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. How we live our lives in Christ, how we develop and use these spiritual gifts entrusted to us, it's going to have a good effect on the community around us. As the community around us looks and they see, wow, there's something different about that body. They really are for each other. They really are united and working together. And then finally, gifts are for equipping the saints. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, again, that second part is, as God has gifted some to be prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, the whole point of that is to build God's people for works of service. So how are you developing your gift? How are you nurturing your spiritual gift? How are you leaning into the power of the Holy Spirit in you as he's refining you, as he's sanctifying you, as he's bringing to your attention those gifts so that you might use it for the glory of God? Next week, we're gonna tackle the ministry of the Spirit to believers. And there's like a lot of what the Holy Spirit, as we are gifted by the Spirit to serve, what is the Holy Spirit's ministry to us as the body of Christ? And it's so important that we understand that as we move forward, as we develop this understanding of the Holy Spirit and his role in our lives. So with that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your word, which is just so full of life and vitality for us to learn and to glean and to become the people of God. God, I pray as we spend time in your word together, not just today, but as this propels us, as this launches us into our week, as we meditate on many of these passages, God, I pray that Holy Spirit, we would come to a greater awareness of your presence in our lives. And that, Lord, that you would bring to our attention, Holy Spirit, those areas of our lives where you've gifted us. And some of us need help in that. And so that's where that spiritual gift assessment is a really useful tool to help us understand and reflect on how you've gifted us. And Lord, for those of us who know our giftings, Lord, may we seek a greater understanding and a greater development of those gifts for your glory, for the common good of the church, for the building up of the body of Christ, for serving one another out of love for each other, Lord. Not lording it over each other, not judging each other, but Lord, rather, hey, I have this gift and how can I use it for your service? And Lord, we thank you for the many gifts that you have given us. We thank you that not any one person has all of the gifts. Because Lord, if any one of us had all of the gifts, then the body would be unnecessary. But Lord, in your wisdom, you give each one according to his or her measure of faith, according to his or her unique design by you to be used within the body of Christ, to build up unity, not division, to be encouraging, to be loving, to be compassionate and grace-filled, so that we might do the work that you've called us to do for your glory. And Lord, we acknowledge and recognize that there's a broken world outside of the walls of this building. There are hurting people that desperately need the gospel. There's a broken world that desperately needs to see the church in action according to your design, Lord. And Lord, may we be presumptive upon your grace to be those people, to be that body in our community, not for our glory, not for our benefit, but for your glory, so that many would come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.